First reading can be found on page 745. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9 to 14. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the aged old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way, not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of Christ.
Good morning to you all. Second reading, I'm going to read Psalm 103. It can be found on page 605 of the Church Bible. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all the inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteous and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is the word of the Lord.
If we could please stand for the bless the Lord, O my soul.
It's really exciting to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me. And just to see so many people's faces that I've been with and I've spoken to, maybe baptized, maybe confirmed, maybe married from the past. It's just so lovely to be here, so thank you. I'm going to pray the collect for today, which is like the special prayer for today. And then I'm going to ask you to stand again, I'm sorry, but for the gospel reading, and then my little talk or my sermon will come next. So let's just bow our heads for the collect. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage never to lose hope, but always to bring our prayers before you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do stand for Luke's Gospel. It's chapter 13. It's verses 10 to 17. And if you've got a church Bible, it's just wonderful to see people opening their Bibles to read the scripture. So Luke 13, 10 to 17. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. But when Jesus called her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept on saying to the crowd, "There's 6 days on which to work. These are the days that work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite! Does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead him away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
And as we pray for Wendy, we ask that the words she speaks are the words that Jesus has given her. Let us open our minds, hearts, bodies and souls to the words spoken, and just let the Holy Spirit feed us with the food we need. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen.
We don't even know her name. We don't know what caused her to be bent over and unable to stand, bowed down, but we know she'd been like that for a very long time. 18 years, they say. To be fair, people probably had stopped noticing her. Because it's very difficult to look into the eye of somebody who's bent down. It's very difficult to have a conversation. But there she was, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day. Was this her habit, do you think? A weekly pattern of prayer and worship in that place of hope and expectation. A place where one day God might find her. Where one day, as Isaiah, the reading that we had from Isaiah puts it, "You shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry out for help and he will say, 'Here I am.'" It happens that Jesus was teaching that day. He was a rabbi. Rabbis teach. But just then, maybe it was just after his sermon, I don't know, but just then he saw the woman with the spirit that had crippled her, bent over and quite unable to stand. So it wasn't just a physical ailment. She had a spirit that crippled her. Thank you for your testimony, Tim. Tim talked about brokenness and bearing burdens that maybe nobody could see. Maybe they could. Maybe it reflected in his body. But the point is, lots of us come with burdens and brokenness to places of worship and physical disabilities. What did he do? When Jesus saw her, he called her over and simply said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment. I find that really interesting. He didn't say you're healed. You are set free from your ailment. He laid his hands on her, and immediately, she didn't check her bones and stand up and think, what am I going to do now? Immediately, she stood up straight and began praising God. What a picture. What a story. What an account of Jesus' compassion and love and power. Well, there was a commotion, you can imagine, in the temple that day, in the synagogue. So the next minute, along with all the people who were also worshipping and also praising God, suddenly you hear the sound of the leader. I don't think he had a mic, but I'm sure he had a very strong voice. Well, he's very indignant, and he is shouting, there are 6 days to work. Everyone can come on those 6 days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath. Jesus didn't like that. In fact, the one time Jesus criticizes and condemns people, particularly leaders, are when they are hypocritical and when they are putting burdens on people by telling them they've got to do this, they've got to do that, they've got to do the next thing, otherwise they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if he pointed at him, doesn't say, but he said, you hypocrites, even you care for your animals, untie your donkeys, give them a drink, give them something to eat on the Sabbath day. Even you care for those things that you have responsibility for. He said, and ought not this woman, whom Satan has kept in bondage for 18 long years, ought she not to be set free on the Sabbath day? I love this story. Freedom, release from captivity. This comes through Isaiah all the time, but especially chapter 58. Feeding the hungry, coming alongside the poor, having compassion for the brokenhearted, forgiving our sins, redeeming us. These are the things that God is about. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. This is the good news of hope, of healing, and deliverance, and wholeness that Jesus proclaimed. And that he demonstrates through his body, the church. He offers that to everyone who comes and who came to worship at the synagogue. Whether they came out of duty, and let's be fair, a lot of us do things out of duty, or whether they came with an open spirit, an open heart, ready to receive. It's interesting because I think the way we choose to live, our habits, our attitudes, they have consequences, don't they, on our lives. They have consequences not just on our bodies, but also on our minds and in our spirits. I've been thinking a lot this week about generations and habits. How many of you use the little app, the prayer app, Lectio 365? No? So I'm going to have to tell you about it. Lectio 365, it's just an app that has about 10 minutes of prayer and reflection, of using scripture every day, and on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, a little bit of more meditative type of things. Anyway, this week, in fact, the last 2 weeks, they've been talking about generations. One generation passing on to another generation, the things they've learned, the things they've seen, the things they've... And actually, as we get older, we do think more about what is the legacy we're going to leave? What is it that we are going to pass on to the next generation? What of our faith will continue? Last time I was here, I had the joy of marrying Zoe and Elliot, and that was a great, absolutely wonderful service. What a joy. And the thing about it is, in a sense, they've got a new beginning, a start of a new unity, a new bond. Even though they've been together for 4 years, they are beginning, in a sense, with, I suppose, the proclamation or the promises that they are going to stay together. They are married in God's sight and before their family and friends. Now, both of them bring a lovely inheritance from their families because their families are close. But the habits that they choose and the way that they choose to live their lives, that's up to them. On Sundays, we have a little, Friday nights, to be fair, is when it all starts, because you often have a special meal or maybe some wine or something. You kind of darn tools, don't you? And you think, right, the weekend is here. Each of us do it in a different way. Normally we have a roast on Sunday or a barbecue. In the summer we always have barbecues because we love them. But often it's part of our family down time. It's part of our rejoicing in being alive and being together. The reading from Isaiah is all about habits and routines and the nature and the nurture, the value we give to each other and to ourselves in our lives. And in fact, there's a very clear pattern. It's an if-then. So if body, body, blah, you do, then such and such and such. And it's really interesting to see what Isaiah says. Remember, he's a prophet. Remember, he's talking to Israel. Israel's been pretty neglectful of what God's asked for them. And so he's giving them principles. Now, Israel was quite good at saying, oh, but we fasted, we've offered sacrifices, we've done this, we've done that, but where are you? He's saying, that's not the kind of offering I want. The kind of offering I want is your hearts, your spirits, your minds. And so this if-then practice pattern comes through. Now, we know, we've talked about consequences already, we know that there are consequences in the way that we live. We live in a broken world, and some of us will, because of just where we live, not to do with our habits or our lifestyle, we will become sick, we won't be well. I'm thinking particularly of the Wood family at the moment. Sue is struggling, and we are praying for her. But there are other families here I don't know anything about. The different things they're going through. But we also know that there are consequences to habits that we choose in the way that we eat or the way that we drink or the way that we, whatever we do to our bodies. For example, if we eat lots of fatty foods and lots of sugar, we can sometimes develop things like type 2 diabetes or have high cholesterol. We know if we reduce those, we can sometimes reverse those things. We need sometimes help and intervention from doctors. But with spiritual help, there's similar patterns. And so in Isaiah, there's a couple of patterns. So Isaiah 58, verse 9, it starts off by the persistent habit of prayer. And then it says, if you stop pointing your finger at others in blame. Ooh, awkward. So-and-so did this, and why are they doing that? And okay, we're all guilty of it. If you offer your food to the hungry, the poor, the people who don't have, and I know that this church has a habit of giving and serving in the food banks, if you do these things, then the Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your needs. You will be like, and I love this picture, you will be like a well-watered garden. It also says, Andrew, this is especially for you, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Your church towers will be repaired. I didn't say that. But you shall raise the foundations up of many generations. The point is that this church, in the way that you worship and the way that you care for this building, you are recognizing God's presence in Mark's Tay. And one of the things you're doing is saying, right, that church tower needs repair. Let's do something about it. Raise funds, get work. It's a long process. You're doing it because you want generations to come, to be able to be here, to worship in God's house, to meet with God. Keep doing it. God will bless you, and he will raise up the foundations of many generations of people worshipping. The second part of that reading, and Leon, he always reads very well, he made it very clear. If, and this is an interesting one, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath and from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, not going your own ways, not serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, if, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and he will make you ride upon the heights of the earth, and he will feed you with the inheritance of your ancestors. Refrain from trampling the Sabbath. What does that mean? Okay, this is not a quiz, but I'm going to get your brain cells going. You all know the Ten Commandments, I'm sure, off by heart. Well, give me some of them. What are the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal.
Kill.
Bear false witness, thank you. First one, worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yes, you've got them all, but what about the number four? The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Okay. Now, I know you've got jobs to do. I know you've got children to feed. I know you've got fences to repair, churchyards to mow. I know you've got all sorts of things that you've got to do. And these things are legitimate things. I work over the weekends as a priest. I don't have a day off on the weekend. Well, I try and take at least Saturday morning. But the point of a Sabbath is a day of rest, a day that is slightly different. 24 hours, maybe, or maybe two, so it's quite hard to put a whole 24 hours together, but thinking about rest in your week. You know what the word holiday means? It means going away to change your rhythm, to have a good time, to take some time to rest. But do you know holiday, of course, comes from holy day. Holy day, we've got a holy day tomorrow. It's a public holiday. Holy day simply means a day where you're not working to earn money. You're not working because you've jolly well got to do all those chores. It's a day where you're taking time for yourself to refresh your soul, your family, to rejoice maybe with a meal, to go out perhaps, to go for a walk in the woods, and to bless the community around you. We come to church on what we call our Sunday, our Sabbath day, but we come to church in order to be refreshed, in order to go out and bless our community. The Sabbath day is a day where you say, right, in any seven-day period, I am going to create a habit where I take some time with the Lord or with those I love, which is also with the Lord, and just allow my soul to open up and be refreshed. I'm especially refreshed by walking in nature. And sometimes, and often, if I'm on my own, I pray as I walk. That's my way of doing it. Your way may be different. But think about your routine. Have you got into the habit of working 24/7 and not giving yourself space? Because I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, if you don't give yourself time for refreshment, then what happens is that you become, well, you know all those things that you don't like yourself to be. Burnout, nagging, fed up, wondering what on earth you're doing on this earth, all those things come to mind. Why am I telling this story? Because in two readings, we hear about what happens on the Sabbath. So be open to God and his health-giving, soul-restoring freedom and healing. It is beautiful to just wait on God's presence and be still. Last week, my husband, he works partly in Ipswich, occasionally in London, and also in his little office at home. Anyway, he went to London on Thursday. And he, one of his habits, and it's a good habit, he always, after he's had his lunch, packed lunch normally, he goes for a walk. It's normally about 20 minutes, he listens to a podcast, he comes back. It's a bit of his giving himself a little space in his day to get a bit of exercise and to forget about the work problems. Anyway, on Thursday in London, he did something different. He went to the synagogue. Nonsense. He went to Southwark Cathedral. And cathedrals are wonderful spaces because there's lots of little places where you can go and kind of let your spirit be refreshed. Anyway, he went into Southwark Cathedral, and if you've ever, have you been there recently? From the ceiling, there are loads and loads and loads of paper doves hanging. There's light. It's an installation. It was put together by a man called Peter Walker. And along with the visual installation, and there's blue light shining on it, but there are thousands of doves hanging up there. There's also a piece of music that's playing by David Harper. You might know that composer. On each dove, and they were made by people in the community, schools, care homes, different people. On each dove, there's a prayer. These are the persistent prayers of the people of that community, lifting their prayers like incense to God. And that image, that picture of hundreds and thousands of prayers, I don't know how many doves there are. Does it say? No, just says thousands. Remind us that as we come today, I don't know how many there are of you here, but there are a lot of people. Each of you can lift your voices to God in prayer. I've actually brought some doves. I thought there might be some children here today, but I brought some doves. If you want to take a dove and just write on it the thing that you want God to do to lift for you. Go ahead. So coming to a close. Choose a day, a Sabbath, where you don't normally do the things you do on other days. Take it as a gift. Use it as a break, to space to wait on God. Grow in prayer. Open yourself to God's healing and his presence. Back for a moment to the woman. I wonder if you noticed she didn't come up to Jesus. Jesus called her over. And he spoke these words, "You are set free." I'd like you to bow your heads for a moment. I'd like you to think, what is it you want to be set free of today? What burden is it you want to lay down and let go of? Today, Jesus has noticed you. Today, he is calling you over. And as you bow your head now in prayer, and as you open your hands and your heart and your minds with hope, he hears your call. He will answer you. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." You are set free. Amen.